This morning, our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of John. John's writing this, and John always said that he was the beloved one of Jesus, and he references in here. But you've heard this story many times. I want you to listen this morning for something you might not have heard or something that just means something different to you this time. So go with me, and let's listen to what Jesus is saying to us through this message, John 21, 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." So they went out, they got into their boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in with the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the Lord, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to him, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard, hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, and he took the bread, and he gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he had said it to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I ask that my words decrease and that you increase so that we hear exactly what you are saying to us this morning. Amen. If we had had our normal prep time and Jay had known he was going to get COVID, I would have prepared a message based on the epistle lesson. But you know, the funny thing is, life has a way of doing what it wants to, right? And we just adapt to it. So when we were talking, I said, don't worry, we'll do something. We'll read a devotion from the upper room. You know, we'll sing songs. We'll do something, don't worry about it, because you know I love to talk. And he said, yeah, okay, good. He knew it. He couldn't say anything. So as I was coming back home, I was thinking about what I could share. And I was thinking, okay, what's happened this week? What's been going on? You know, did something stand out to me that I would like to share with folks? And I remembered, and you may have heard me speak about, through a job that I had, I made a very good friend of a young man that lives outside of Jerusalem. And Ophir would share with me some of the Jewish customs and things that were going on in his life. And I was always sharing what was going on at Pleasant Grove with him. And we just had some really good discussions. And he helped me understand things. And I hope I helped him understand things. So it's just been a good friendship that we've had. So one of the things that I had heard about this past week and wanted to check out was that Rosh Hashanah starts today at sundown. And so I was like, when I was thinking about it, it was like, well, okay, A, I've always heard of Rosh Hashanah, but what does it really mean? And B, what does it mean to a Christian? What does it mean to me? Because, you know, we've got the Old Testament and we've got the New Testament, and Rosh Hashanah is in Leviticus and on and on. Anyway, so I started trying to figure out, what is it? What does it mean to me? So Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the Jewish New Year, because in the Hebrew calendar, this is year 5,700 something or another. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but it's the Hebrew calendar. And today is a day that is celebrated by our Jewish friends as the day that God created the universe, the beginning of a new year. And Rosh Hashanah, I think it's 10 days, runs into Yom Kippur, which is the high holy day in the Jewish faith. And this period in between is called high holy days, or days of awe. Okay, well, when I read that, days of awe, I thought, man, I see God's work in awe. Every day, in something, whether it's the children just being up here and sharing, you know, God's all comes to us in so many ways, and it's all the time if we'll just look for it, we'll just celebrate the creation. Also went on, it's a time for prayer, it's a time for reflection, and the joy that a new year is beginning. So, in that, there is a service or whatever we want, a rite that the Jewish faith does, and it's called Toshlik, and that's the southern pronunciation. I have no idea how it would be pronounced in Israel, but anyway, and it means to cast off. And the reference was to Micah. Micah 7:19, and it says, once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. Okay, so for Christians, we know we can give our sins and regrets and everything to Jesus. And we know we can throw them just as hard and as fast and as far as we possibly can, so that No one. Jesus doesn't want anybody to bring them back to us. He wants us to let them go. All right. So then I keep reading. And found out that, and Hal, if I'm getting this wrong, you just raise your hand and you correct me. And Greg too, down here, absolutely. In the Christian tradition, the sea is often, or is said to be, a sea of forgetfulness. What you put into the sea is forgotten. Okay. So in this Toshlik service, you take bread, you break it off, it's like a sin, and you throw it into the ocean. Probably need a big loaf of bread, but anyway. And you put those sins out there, and the waves come and they take it away, and the bread dissolves, and it's no more. You know, we don't live by the sea, but we do have some great lakes around here. You know, we've got Lake Lynn, we've got Shelley, we've got Falls, Jordan, Johnson. You know, we have a lot of water around us, actually. And do you ever remember, and I know you're not supposed to do it now, but going to these lakes and throwing bread into the ducks? I mean, that is a favorite memory that I have, of feeding the ducks. And you know, when you would feed the ducks, they would all gather right around, you know, squawk, 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 you know, hungry as they could be. But then you might see one kind of on the outside, and you would throw that bread to them because you didn't want them to be left out. And of course, you know, every duck I've ever seen has just gobbled it up and there it's gone. If you happen to just, you know, by chance, throw a piece and it hit the water, it didn't stay there long. Because those ducks, they just ate them up as quick as they could. And that's like what we do with our sins in this service. We throw them out there. And they're gone. Now, so you think about what we can throw. I mean, is there something, a shame in your past, that you bring it to Jesus and you put it at his feet constantly, and then it just kind of keeps popping back up in your mind? Do you ever beat yourself up over not being as Christian as you think you should be? Or for falling into that same temptation that, you know, again, do you ever feel like you can't come to God because he'd be kind of mad at you for what you were going to share? Have you ever felt the pressure to be good or to do better? Maybe even subconsciously thinking that God would love you more if I could just be a little bit better. Well, you know, we don't have to worry about those things. We can toss all of those things out into the water. And Jesus takes them away. And he doesn't bring them back to us. They're gone. So what I think I probably need is a Toshlik moment to cast my cares, give it all to him. He tells us in Matthew 11, 28 and 30, he says, then Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Casting off usually means repentance, but it's also an opportunity for joy, to remember all that God has done for us in giving us Jesus. When we cast out our bread, we remember Jesus' broken body, that he died and he rose so that we can live free from our sins. So we don't live by the sea, and we're not supposed to feed the ducks in the lake. So stand at your kitchen sink, throw some bread in it, let it go. Let it go. Be dissolved, and Jesus will take care, take it and not give it back to you. So those are just some ramblings of thoughts I had this week on Rosh Hashanah. It starts at sundown. Cast all your sins and fears to Jesus, and he will take them away. Amen.